Levels Podcast. I am Justin Hoddle, joined by the Triple OG, Whitaman Mason. Mace, it's finals time, baby. Round one. You ready to go?
I'm good.
All right, so just a nice, quick, easy sort of show leading into this week. A few narratives and stories that will build into the previews of the game. But first and foremost, we want everyone to go and sign up to levelsnetwork.com.au. Hats nearly ready. So go on there to the email list. Collection one is coming. Three colors. Only the email list knows what they are at the moment. So make sure you go. If you haven't already, sign up to levelsnetwork.com.au. Subscribe to Levels Network on YouTube. Leave us a comment. The YouTube questions have been a hit for us in the last couple of weeks, Mace, especially now that finals times are just around the corner or here now. I'm sure a lot of people got some real good questions surrounding that.
How many do we get a week? How many?
Ooh, I'd say average would be about 75 to 80.
Fuck.
75 to 80, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so some weeks bigger than others, especially like if there's a real controversial week, pushes like the 120s. Pardon?
2 a week. So per episode.
Oh, yeah, 2 a week. Yeah. So per episode, yeah. So 150 questions that come through or just comments. Sometimes people just like to jump in there and...
Do you flick through them all?
Yeah.
The comments
and
like...
Through them all, yeah.
You're the best.
Yeah. There's a couple of... a couple lemons every now and again. But honestly, majority of them's fucking just...
Pretty positive,
either positive... thankful, just want to say fucking up the whales or some shit.
About a thousand of them.
And there's some really good ones, which I've got a couple of like different ones across the board, which we'll get to as well. So make sure you like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, Apple, Spotify, the podcast platforms. Our Levels Community Club on Strava is at 396 at the moment. Seen so many of the guys just getting after it. Like the members straight away, their distances come up for how they've been training. So been going in there and just having a look at those lads even before we get to our first activation. And right now the episode of Gimme Waz is live right now. So if you're watching this, it dropped yesterday. Go on, give it a watch. It was one of the better episodes.
Good course, huh?
Great course. Good crew. Good banter. Some really good golf. Wade Egan hits a really good ball.
Yeah.
Dylan Walker hits a very good ball. And me and Sizz, not awful. So much. So that's the beauty of the Ambrose platform that we play on. You get to, you know, someone can carry you. Like those guys are like...
What would they be off?
Wade Egan's off about 5 or 6,
oh,
I think.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's
like Braith. Braith was off 2.
Yeah.
Braith and he was fucking around.
Sammy Bird just got off about 3 or 4 when he was living up.
Should do an ep with Sammy and Braith, man.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I've done Sammy before.
You done Sammy?
Yeah.
Braith will fucking pump it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'll get Braith on for
it. Remember hit Rennie in the head with the golf ball once? So I'll tell you a story. So we used to play these... out at Camden Valley.
Yeah.
Like it was for all the sponsors and all that sort of shit with the Bulldogs. So we'd have a massive night, right? I'd just have a Sunday night. So we had to get there Monday morning. It was like 7, 8 o'clock. Get there. No one played golf. Like myself, Sonny, Rennie, none of the brothers ever played.
Yeah.
No one give the fuck. Just drank and had a good time, right? So Braith is like the ones behind us and all you hear is, fuck. And so I'm talking to Ren like this, right? And we're talking about the night before and he's flipping his like golf thing up, his stick up and down.
Yeah.
And all you hear is like, and then blood starts pissing down the top of his head, right? I'm looking at him, like I've got the back, like back to Braith. Like he's about 200 meters away.
Fuck.
And it fucking hit him straight in the middle of
the
head.
Didn't drop him?
Didn't drop him. We just kept on pushing. Like, I said, what's wrong with your fucking head, bro? Like starts bleeding. He goes, did I just hit myself with the golf stick? Because we're fucking pissed as well.
Yeah.
We're like, what's happened? We're all just sitting around having this big convention going, what the fuck happened? And Braith comes running over the fucking hill and goes, there's something to... I said, that fucking golf ball just hit you. He didn't even bother him. He just went,
fuck.
And we didn't even see it. We just kept on talking and blood. We're like, the fuck just happened?
Fuck, that Samoan lemon spread.
Yeah, that head, man.
That's fucking the best.
Yeah, it was hilarious. We just couldn't stop laughing,
Braith,
bro.
He's off like 2 or 3.
Yeah, he
meant it.
He don't like you, man.
those boys killing it at the moment too. Go, you know, if you're not involved with what Braith, you know, we're really big.
Does a strong dad stuff, man. He's killing it. It's good.
So we're
it's good to see the big Greek goddess.
Me and Mace love training, getting after it, and
Should do a sesh with him, man.
Yeah, we'll go and do it.
He fucking rips in, man.
Session, yeah. He looks like the...
He trains hard, man.
Need to get a bit more of a base first before...
He got that Bulldogs DNA in him.
Yeah, they're dogs. Yeah. And they turn up on time too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. The Body Science Read is here. All of these guys are going to be getting into it. I'm sure Brace pumps the protein shake straight after his sessions. All the plays will be finals time, Mace. It's perfect for straight after a game. I remember whenever I finished a game of footy, even back in the day, they had these, the BSC protein shakes. They're the ready-to-drink vanilla and chocolate shakes, whether you need a quick hit of protein to help you refuel after a tough workout or game, like the boys are playing now with finals week one. You can currently find these in Coles, online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. Mace, they're a must-have after games, after training sessions, after you get after it.
They're good.
All right, mate. Our first question, this one comes from STT, say 4080. Only team's season that was a pass from the bottom eight teams of the Dolphins. They probably had the worst roster coming into 2023 without prime Melbourne players Kenny, Jesse and Felice, fringe players Ray Stone, Sarko, Branko, Jared Wallace, Mudders Wallace, and up-and-coming rookies that put their hard hats on and worked harder. Even Hammer was an interchange player at the end of 2022. Only genuine starters off the top of my head would be Ewan Aiken, Jeremy Marshall King and Tom Gilbert, who they lost first game of Origin. Well done, Finns. It's pretty, they're pretty accurate. I gave...
Yeah, we said that was, we gave him a pass, didn't we?
Yeah, no, we both did. Yeah. I think they were the only team that you gave a pass, right?
Genuinely, yeah.
Yeah, so 100%. It's probably, you know, more accurate. I looked at a few circumstances like Manly, like a Seabold coming in after Hasler that I thought was important that they didn't go backwards. And then with Tommy's injury, it's again, if Tommy doesn't get injured, I have a...
They're playing this week.
They're playing week one of finals, I believe. And I think with Parry, with everything that went shit with Parry this year, I just think there's some silver lining in a season like that, and I think they're going to bounce back.
They're the best bounce-back team too.
For sure. The next one is from JC. Best hit you've ever put on someone and why, and the best hit someone put on you. Also, best bit of coaching or advice you received, whether that's footy or life-related. Keep kicking goals, fellas. It's such a breath of fresh air hearing you both discuss and dissect the game. Really informative, honest. None of this mainstream narrative shit you get forced down your throat on the big networks and media platforms. Thank you, JC571. Mace, biggest hit you've put on. Have you got a clip for Lukey to...
I don't know.
For whatever reason, I can feel you come steaming in on someone and...
Yeah, it's been a few. I'd like to pride myself on being a decent defender, right? I don't think I was a massive hitter like a fucking Tony Carroll.
Yeah.
Or blokes who fucking hit you and you're done. You know what I mean?
You know what? I say this all the time. We're talking about it on SEN on the weekend, just gone about the hitters. When I wake up, we'll name in through all the hitters, whether it's Cement Gillespie's, the Trevor Gilmeisters, right, the OGs.
Yeah.
And then even like a few guys that a little bit later, Adam Dockers, fucking Nigel Plum.
Fucking hit. Plummy could hit, bro.
They're about Ren size, 6'1", right?
Yeah.
Or below. And 6'3" guys, we don't really...
I'm going at the 6'3", 6'4" guy.
Every day of the week, I was the same. I've never run at anyone who was like 6'6"
or
below.
Adam Perry.
Oh, they'll just chop you. They'll just come straight through you. So... Yeah,
I agree. Like, I was like that. I'd rather run at Petro.
Yep.
Any day. Not any day, because he hits like a fucking hammer.
Yep.
Than a Tony Carroll.
Yeah.
You know, one of those blokes like the Dockers and all that, you know, like they used to hit and fucking hit me straight in the guts, right? And like really drive through Dallas Johnson's.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking annoying, fucking proper hitters, but like Mick Crocker's, you know, like guys like that. Ben, they can all deadlift fucking 300 kilos. They just got that bang power straight through you. Guys that are 6'5", right?
Yeah.
We tend to just hit up, right?
Yeah.
Around the ball all the time. Use your levers and all that kind of stuff and use your power, weight, speed to try and drive through someone all the time. But you're not. I was never like a genuine hitter. I was a good defender, but I wasn't like a proper hitter.
Yeah, I've got an example for me. Then I'll give you one. And if you can think about one, if one comes to you in the next bit, this is not me putting on a hit. There's one. I've got an example. One that was sort of a hit, but it wasn't really. But Actually, I'll do that one first. So we got Penrith in 2014. Well, I think we were losing to them at the time and a bit rattled because we should have been beating them. And I actually come shooting in from sea and got the hitter of all hitters, Nigel Plum.
Because Plummy could fucking hit Nigel Plum.
Plummy could hit, but he didn't have any footwork or evasion about him. So I caught him coming from sea. He didn't see me coming. And I got him clean. But it was my, like, I didn't have, like, bend and shoulder hit. So it was just one of those big ball on all hits. And I think there was commentary on it as well, and it was like he got plumbed. So that's as close as I got to hit for me.
And think then about defence, right? Sorry. It's like, it's all about timing, right?
Yeah.
And like, just, I'm 6'5", used to play about 115 to 118. So my, like, line speed, I was quite quick into that impact, right? If you're like 100 kilos or less, you're going to fucking go down.
Yeah.
With a decent amount of technique, you know what I mean, and timing, like, you'd get fucked. Like, I was like Sonny in that. Sonny had like – he was a proper hitter, Sonny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
– he used to dip to
and
get
he dipped,
out,
but like, you know, the power
you
on that guy, bro. Easily, mate. Like, when you talk about effective tackling, right?
Yeah.
Right now, you have to be what, 90 plus in the middle?
Yep.
Like, Sonny would be rolling around like 50, 60, but I'd rather a Sonny Bill in my team than a fucking a guy who's tackling at 90% because there's no fear factor.
Yeah.
You fucking run into guys like Roy and Sonny and me and Ogre. Like, take your pick when you played against us.
I remember
there's some fucking hitters in that team, man.
We played Sonny. I played Sonny in 13, his first year back, and it was on a highlights for the finals leading into it. I think it was the first this round of finals. Mm. First versus fourth or second versus third. And it looked like a big hit, but it wasn't. He didn't get me clean. He, you know, one of those ones, because he dips and goes like that, he actually just, like, it was one of those ones. He bumped me off my he made me lose my bearings. But, you know, the crowd went up and like,
It's about the impact.
But it wasn't as I know he just missed it.
Yeah, little bit off, right?
It was just a bit off. And I like, so I just like hit and spun, hit the deck, got up, played the ball, and I was like,
ooh. It's how quick you play the ball, right? You can get it all out. Me and Sonny went at it when I was playing for Newcastle, and this is when you can measure the impact and because of your GPS. I ran off just straight at him, like we just both met, like boom.
Yeah,
it was equal to 185 kilometer car crash head on. Yeah. That's when you know your body's taking a fucking belt, and I've done 1,000 of those. You know what I mean? Like it's just like that was a real indicator. I was like, holy shit, I've been doing this for like that was my 15th year in the game. I was like, fucking hell.
Yeah, there's different levels.
But timing and everything like that is good. I've been hit a couple of times. Nothing really. Everyone's probably going to be in the comments about the kid will hit. That hurt, right? Because it's the back of his fucking head.
Yeah, the back of his head hit the
back of his
face.
Head hits my face. I don't think anyone's going to win that battle, right? But that rattled me because if that was right now, I'm not coming back. Yeah. It's the fucking protocol one, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
that and guys like it wasn't really that hard, right?
You know,
like,
got me another one. Who got me was Big Papa.
Yeah, Big Papa can hit. Yeah, he's perfect hit for me.
Perfect technique, eh? We played I think it was his rookie year, 2010. And I used to, because Fui could attract so many defenders, I used to punch the hole really hard outside of him.
Soft hands too, the big boy.
Really nice soft hands. Yeah. So there was a couple of times where I made little half breaks or, you know, legs tackles and got quick play the balls in a space of about 3 or 4 weeks. And Big Papa at that time, he must have been playing edge back row. Fui would start in the middle, come drifting across. And we played in Canberra, down in Canberra, and it was mid-season. And my rookie year, I think it was Papa's rookie year. I think he might have debuted.
What year? Like, when did he debut? Yes, I've got a story, Big Papa.
Yeah, going. You go. I'm going to look for him as well.
Because I remember coming back from Newcastle. I come back from South France in Newcastle, right? 2012.
Yeah.
I think he's just hitting the scene, Big Papa. I haven't played Origin or anything. He's a young kid on the back row. I'm like, and everyone's like, yeah, he's a mad hit. I'm like, I'll test him out. I fucking veered towards him. He was playing right edge, right? Bang. Straight towards him, boom, just got stopped. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know when people, they just stop you, right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's got it. He can fucking hit this kid. Fucking dip low, fucking straight in the ribs. I'm like, all right. It wasn't a massive hit, but the impact was I could feel it. I'm like,
yeah, he's got it.
Go to the other side.
Yeah, he's got that
name. Go to the other side.
Lived up to his name.
Yeah, Big Papa, I love it.
Yeah, 2011 he debuted, so it must have been 2011. So, Fui comes drifting across the field, hit me on a little short ball. It looked open, bro. It was open. It was one of those ones where you're like, I hit it that hard because I thought I was going to bust, like I was going through. And he closed it so quick, bro. Knocked me, like one of those ones where he hit me from like there on the side and then immediately lost feet, like bang.
Yeah, right.
And then you hurt your shoulder on the right. You get hit here on the left and that's all. And then you hurt your shoulder and your AC from landing directly on your shoulder. So Big Pups got me a beauty in his rookie year, it must have been. But best any coaching advice from over your time that really stuck with you?
I suppose with like I think I was indoctrinated into the Bulldog sort of way, like in 98, right? It was like fucking old school sort of shit, you know. It was just like work hard,
was folks
train hard, play
coach
hard,
from day
everything.
One?
Yeah.
Yep.
From day one, yeah. I don't know, I'm trying to think of the advice. Wayne Bennett always had like just advice every day.
Just nuggets.
Yeah, just nuggets. Little everywhere, you know. Yeah. And you sort of just pick those up as a player and then try and transform it into something when you're a coach, when I'm in the coaching sort of system now with younger players and all that kind of stuff. It's probably just about discipline, man.
Yeah.
Just stay disciplined in every facet of your life.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard to be disciplined. It's the fucking hardest thing. If you can master discipline in anything in life, you'll nail it.
Yeah.
Nail it, right? Getting up early, like just being committed, like disciplined, eating the right food, staying on track, on and off the field. Like it's so many, just that one word covers so much, right?
Yeah.
Hits so many very sort of areas. Yeah. Very broad, but it's like if you nail it,
if you've lived it,
and you've lived it, and you know it, and you know how hard it is, and you know the rewards to get out of it if you are disciplined.
Do you know a simple one? Do you know a simple one? Like even just with regards to players these days, like the last couple of years with players who just got off alcohol, whether it was Turbo in 21, Munster in 22, they just all had career best years. Like I don't know why, if the guy's in a form slump, why they don't just go, all right, I'm going to be disciplined just for this one or two seasons, whether it's contract year,
just see what happens,
whether it's like, fuck, I need to start playing well or they're going to fuck me off. I think discipline is important.
And I'm not one of those ex-players who sit there, don't drink and this and that, and like I'm like, fuck, we were just in that system, right? It was part of the culture.
Yeah, different times.
It's not a part of the culture now.
No.
Like I'm at the presentation last night. No one's drinking.
Yeah.
No one's having a good time. A few players were sort of having a couple, but they all went home at the right hour.
Yep.
You know what
Back
I mean?
In the
it's
day.
Not like Mad Monday. The Bulldogs are fucking.
You would have been still been going
yes.
for Mad Monday.
Yeah, yes. I'm telling you. There would have been blokes still going from when we got beat on Sunday or if we played our last game.
Yeah.
Half the team wouldn't even be at the presentation because you'd be fucking rattled.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting at home crying. You're sitting at home crying.
But that would be prelim finals or worse.
Yes. That's the difference,
or better,
right? And last night just seeing all the boys there, like, you know, they were disappointing years and stuff like that.
That's understandable for teams that like, yeah, I'm the same. Like when I was in teams and even if it's like you just don't go and even if you do go have a few beers somewhere, get together with the gang. Yeah. Get a couple of boys come over. I think Matty Johns told a funny story where the Manly boys ended up having a drink in his garage at fucking 3 o'clock
he's
in the morning.
Sunk.
Do something like that. Don't like, especially you haven't made the finals, so you don't want to go fucking getting out on a boat or fucking going out in the town. And those days
are done,
unfortunately. They're done. But get together and have a beer and enjoy the season together. Don't get me wrong.
It's just not Mad Monday anymore, right?
No.
You just, as soon as you end the season, like, look at the Bulldogs. They were feeding the homeless.
Yeah.
It was a great thing, right? And for everyone who thinks that was all set up for a PR stunt, it wasn't. That was set like 6 months ago they were going to do that. Regardless if they had made a run to the semi-finals or not, they were always going to do that on Monday.
And it wasn't compulsory, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't They didn't have to turn up, but they did. So
I've got a little bit of coaching advice. It's a bit more of a giggle, but it stands true. So Rip Taylor was my New South Wales cup.
You know, he's the best. I know Rip.
Yeah.
He's one Ogres, mate.
Yeah. Mate, he's the OG, been coaching grades for years.
Yeah.
Rip Taylor always told me, because he knew I was that guy, almost before every single game, don't piss before you get your cock out, all right? Do not piss.
Is that the fucking
and it's the best and it's life advice as well, right? Like, don't get too.
Yeah,
it's an analogy for not getting too fucking carried away. Build into a game, take your time. It's mate, it's just
he's a good one liners, Rip.
Mate, there's some fucking doozies. He's been around the traps for a minute, and he used to say it to me every time because he used to address the team with it, but because he knew I was a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, when I was coming through the grades, I used to test my arm all the time. Like I felt like I wanted to be playing first grade, so I was always trying to overdo it.
Mm.
Like that was my style, and I used to go run down short sides and try to throw cutouts and shit.
Three
all the time.
On two, just hit the going long.
So he'd look at me and go, "Fucking Hoz, don't piss before you get your cock out." And I was like, "Yeah, sweet, whatever." Like, just brush him off, go into the game. We played grand final, and I missed like 3 or 4 weeks with an injury going into the grand final. This is your New South Wales Cup grand final, mind you. And same thing. He goes, "I'm going to start you off the bench." I'd started all year, but he goes, "I'm going to start you off the bench because you've missed a bit of footy and then you finish off the game because then you can play 60, 55 minutes or whatever." So, yeah, sweet. He goes, "Don't piss before you get your cock out." My first pass, I threw an intercept to their winger. I try to run short some shape. Side? I used to go this little short side shape, and I used to get so Jimmy Maloney was my six.
What?
He used to tip it to me, wrap around me. Jono Wright was our centre.
Yeah,
we ended up playing a shitload of first grade
good
as
man,
well.
Jono.
So Jimmy Maloney, Canberra Raiders do it still to this day. So Jimmy Maloney tips it to me. He wraps around both me and Jono Wright. I play down on the line and flick it up to out Jimmy Maloney. But because we did it so much throughout the year, teams used to read it. So instead of throwing it to Jimmy, I did the tunnel ball to the winger.
You know, you used to do that, Mad. Anthony Tupou.
Yes. We got
fucking stole it, didn't you?
It's called the Rooster. We called it Rooster.
I knew it. We used to play that. He was the best at it.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah, and I think he did it with Braith.
Yeah,
he
had a combination. All the time down short side. Like, fucking Toops, just do your thing, mate. There's no one who's got better hand skills than that
Silky.
Dude, mate. Silky skills.
Rooster. We named the Rooster after Toops.
Yeah, it would have been Toops.
Yeah.
Same shape.
I was coming
so you were playing. You were the Toops.
Yeah.
Went long.
Yeah. I went tunnel ball.
That's cockiness. So it's fucking.
In a grand final, it was my first touch. Don't piss before you get your cocky up. Fuck that. I'm pissing
my pants.
I'm a dog. I'm just fucking chucking my leg.
Oh, shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but really good advice and advice I should have taken. We still got.
Did you end up winning?
Yeah, we still end up winning. It was the second longest game in NRL history, that game.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, we went to like triple overtime or some shit against – who was it? It was Newtown the second year. First year was South, which would have been North Sydney. And then the second year, I think it was Newtown. Yeah. All right. This one's Mace, you're all over social media and that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the NRL teams, I think it's super important for the social media teams to be on point, and so many are at the moment. This one is from Sum4101 to – best NRL social media team?
South.
South's good?
I like South. Okay. And the Warriors.
Yeah.
And the Warriors. Those two are going head to head. And you know who runs it? Like Alex Johnston. He does a bit of it.
Does he?
Yeah. Because
yeah,
I commented on one of their things, right? And I'm like, that's fucking sick, right? Yep. And they go, AJ's like, he's part of the team. Like he has a lot of input in with South.
Yeah, he's really big on TikTok.
Yeah, he's fucking massive.
Yeah.
So, I think South, man.
Yeah, he's actually really funny. He does like a lot of skits and shit like that. And
I didn't know he was like that.
Yeah, he does.
The perception is like
Have you met him before? He's quite an introvert.
Yes,
eh?
I've met him. Like, and he's like, he's real shy and everything like that. And I'm like,
and then
he's got
he gets
that swag, but
some people can turn it on, right? Like we've talked about it before with we were talking about JBK. Just me and Mason walking
John
in,
Bernard,
talking about John Bernard. John Bernard's like a pretty cruisy guy off camera, but then he gets on, he can turn on and put on a.
He's fucking hilarious. I did some interviews with him, man. Yeah. He's doing some good things, man.
He's killing it. Couple, the Wires, for sure. Yeah. What Logan Dodds and Jacko with all the gang at the Warriors have done this year, in particular, like the way that they made us feel and the clips that they put up when we were over there, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're killing it. I'd say they'd be close to number one right at the moment.
It's Wires and South.
Got to give my boy Alfie a shout out at Manly too. He's killing it at the moment with some of the edits that he does.
I find out if they're entertaining, it gets my attention, right?
Yep.
I'm like, I don't mind Manly, I don't mind the Wales, and I don't mind South.
Yeah,
right?
And usually I also think Storm and Penrith with regards, you like that too, Lukey? Storm and Penrith.
Para are pretty good, actually.
Yeah, and Para. if you don't have a good social media team right now,
so important.
You're not doing your club justice because those are the eyes. Yeah, it gets hard for them for sure. I know this for a fact because we've been involved with Lukey. You know, he's done stuff with Parra. Jacko does it with the Warriors before. Even speaking to Alfie at Manly when Desi was there, right? He's still got old school coaches that are standoffish with the amount of content that you can film around it. But it gives you an insight into the players and that attracts fans. And what they got to remember is all the kids then go get their parents to go watch the games because all the kids are watching that content on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook. Then they go tell their parents, I want to go to a Manly game.
Yeah.
Why? I've seen Tommy Turbo on Manly Instagram the other day. Like, that's probably a bad example because Tommy Turbo is a superstar regardless.
Just say Fox.
Fox.
Fox is the Bulldogs. He's the best, right?
Yep.
A young kid would love the Bulldogs because they love Fox.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think they do. I think it's slept on, man, social media with the NRL teams. Like if you compare them to like NBA teams and all that kind of stuff, their socials are mad, right?
Yeah.
We're always about 5 years behind with that shit.
Yeah. I think we're
– because we're old school and everything. I think with the Bulldogs, like Artie and that do such a great job. They've got access 24/7 to the players. Players don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah.
Where you got old school sort of dudes going, they don't really care anymore because the old school – they're like 30, right?
It's very hard to do content with the Bulldogs at the moment
right?
when you're losing. So you see like those teams will improve so much. They might have the dudes there already. Well, I'm not aware of them because you can't post that content when you're losing. But, you know, when
that's
you're
up, another thing, right? You've got to read the room. We've lost fucking shitload of games. The energy's not good.
Yep.
Do I want to do fucking something like that?
That's for every team.
You know, and every team's like that. And that's, you know, that's the communication thing. That's when you run a good club, when social media can come in and all that kind of shit. It's mainly just footage, right? It's just footage. It's not people talking at all with social media stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just filming shit, right? Week one done, week two, week three, day, you know, all that sort of shit. There's hardly any like talking. It's just footage of them training and all that. And that's all fans want to see, right? Yeah. There's a little bit of like the insight of an NRL team, what they do during the week.
That's it.
That's all it is.
Yeah, get to know the players a little bit more.
You just got to make
it
you
feel like you know the players a little bit more.
Yes.
All right, this one's from the Wombat. This is based off the chat around the finals. I'm a fan of the bye before the finals. There's already so many little moments throughout the season that are favourable, unfavourable. Teams getting a bye in round one or two. That's got to change. Teams like Titans having all three byes before some have had two. Manly copping the Friday game after 2-3 origins in 2021. Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know, you're never going to get perfect scheduling anyway. I'm not the biggest fans of teams resting players, even if they've earned the right to do so. With South Roosters always being in the last round, imagine if they decided to rest players because the latter didn't matter in a game like that. There would be huge backlash. The week off hurts no one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
But I don't agree with like the – I mean, as a, if you're a fan, you wouldn't want your players getting rested. I get it from a fan's perspective, but I understand from a club's perspective as well. You need to rest some of these players, man.
But if you're a fan, don't you look at the bigger picture as well? Like,
but they don't. They don't. They just want some players don't.
They just want some fans.
I mean, some fans don't. Yep. Players do. Clubs do. They understand. Bigger picture is the grand final.
Yep.
You want to win everything. So if it means resting a player for fucking the last round, so be it.
All right, the bigger picture is on and starting Thursday night tonight. If you're watching this, it's going to be on tonight. Oh, no, Friday night is the game?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Two games on Saturday. Let's get into finals week one, Mace. Kicking it off with a blockbuster. Brisbane Broncos versus Melbourne Storm. These odds are accurate as of 6th of August at 5 p.m. with our friends, our partners at the tab. Mace, Broncos are favourite, $1.60, despite their record against the Melbourne Storm, $2.35 underdogs. The line is 4.5. With the Broncos, this is up at Suncorp, by the way. No changes expected with Captain Adam Reynolds and Paddy Carrigan both set to return. Despite being charged, three offences, Piakura, which we spoke about, he's good to go. As for the Storm, Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant, they're good to go. Pappy moves back to the bench. And Melbourne Storm also look full strength. So I'm going to do something a little bit different this week before we give our tips. I want to break the teams down into three different divisions. So we got our strike weapons, outside backs. So your wingers and your centres.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with them. We'll talk about our big boys, our middles, meat and potatoes in the middle, and then the spine. When you look at the Brisbane Broncos versus the Melbourne Storm, who's got the advantage in the strike weapons? So Jesse Arthurs, Katoni Staggs, Farnworth, Cobbo versus Warbrick, Seve, Tonopapea, Xavier Coates.
Brisbane. Every number, I think they're – like if you go 1 to 17, I'm looking at Brisbane going, I think they get the tick most positions.
Okay. Don't get ahead of yourself. We're just saying we're strike weapons right
now. No. I'm just thinking 1 to 17. I'm looking at that Brisbane team. Like, they get all their shit together. They're winning everything.
Yep.
I just look at it like that. And I think they've got the same mentality. But like Walsh, you know what I mean? Like that kid, that's the X factor there.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. I want to specifically start like on the matchups between the strikes. So I like the height that the Melbourne Storm got with the Munster and Jerome Hughes kicking game as well. I think that can be a factor. Let's move into the big boys. I think this is clear. Melbourne have got a really good up-and-coming pack with a couple of vets in the middle, but Broncos?
Yeah, I like it. They're well-balanced, man. They're well-balanced. You're paying Haas. You've got Flegler, Carrigan.
That's the best three middles in the competition.
So Melbourne, I'm starting Big Nars, and I'm like, get after paying Haas.
Mm.
If you're Craig Bellamy.
I think they like Nelson coming off the bench.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, Broncos get off to a start, man. They're fucking hard to get back.
Well, when you look at it, right, and this is the reason I think they do it, and I wouldn't even be surprised if maybe Harry doesn't come off the bench again as well. Mm. You know, he doesn't mind like a late game, change. Isn't it? If you can bring him on the 60-minute mark and the Tuis, the Christian Welses, Lieros, they just hold. Just got to hold it. Just got to hold in there for 20 minutes.
They're the best at that.
They are. They're as good as it gets. So I'd say probably on the bench, that's where they're the
Melbourne's
only
got it.
The only. Yeah.
because it's a proper advantage. Tactic now. It's a tactic, right?
Yep.
You got Big Nelson. He can start a game easily, and he can do that. He can do that for you. He can do a job for you starting, or you let it die down a little bit, hold the fort, boys, as you said, and then get that big boy on. While Flegler and that have done like fucking 30 tackles or some shit like that, and a little bit of work, right?
Yep.
But it's hard too, because sometimes if he comes on and the momentum's not going their way and they're on the back foot the whole time, he's not like, he can't bust out massive, massive minutes in the middle, Big Nels. And they're fucking well coached, the Bronx.
And he can even then go do a stint on the edge if, you know, just to give him a little break, Wystale on the field. So strike weapons, Broncos, tick.
Yeah.
I agree. Forwards, tick.
Yeah.
I agree. Spine, Reece Walsh, Mam Reynolds and Billy Walters versus Nick Meaney, Hughes, Munster, and Harry Grant.
Fuck. See, it's the Meaney one that fucks it, right?
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't mind Meaney, but he ain't Walsh.
But Meaney, like Billy Walters, ain't Harry Grant.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Cam Munster, you know what I mean? Like, it's Ezra Mann.
I'm going Melbourne tick.
Yeah, I'll give it to Melbourne because of Munster and Jerome Hughes and Harry Grant. They're in their position. They're top three in their position.
I'd argue they're top two. So Harry's
argument over. It's fucking
Harry's one.
Yeah,
Munster's one. Jerome Hughes outside an eighth, probably the second
he's
best.
He's top
seven.
Three. He's a three. He's top three.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. And if that was Pap.
Yeah.
In 2020, Pap.
Yep.
You're fucking going Melbourne.
Well, now let's get to the bench. We'll do the bench in every game as well, just so we can play this out. And this is help us make our decision.
I'm leaning against Melbourne.
You're changing your mind, eh? So let's go to the bench. Bronson Garlick, Eisenhoof, Nels, and Pappy over Smoothie, Piakura, Kobe Hetherington, Palacea, who have all been unreal. But I've got Melbourne bench.
Yeah, I like Melbourne's bench. I'm with it. I'm so confident in their starting team that they can get the job done because they play massive minutes. So these benches, I mean, hopefully HIA isn't coming into the factor, but like they're playing 70 minutes in the middle. Payne Haas, like Flegg will probably give you 50 or 60 of the best. Carrigan's playing 80. Payne Haas playing 70 plus. Walters and, you know, like.
Yep. All right. So with all that in mind, Brisbane Broncos versus Melbourne, who are you going?
I can't swap. I've got to go to the Bronx. I'm still thinking about it. Because of the bench. And hey, don't think that psychological warfare is not going on either.
Yeah, for
Having won games in 14 games, what's that, six or 7 years?
Yeah.
The only players that have won against Melbourne are guys that just played in other clubs with fucking South, like Reynolds and
Reynolds and Capewell.
Yeah, so.
Big start, eh? Then for that reason and.
I'm going to go to the Broncos.
I'm going to be leaning most times towards the spine, so I'm on Melbourne. We're going head to head in the first game.
Battled too. Do you reckon experience would come into it? Like.
Yeah.
Grand final. Like these kids haven't played semi-finals, some of them, for Brisbane.
Well,
sometimes
Capewell grand final.
Bliss, right?
Reynolds grand final.
Yeah.
And then, same thing. Those are the only two, with proper finals experience.
All they got is like Origin and Tests. They got to take that right into it.
So who's won a comp here? So not Coates, no, Munster, Hughes, Harry.
Nels.
Christian Welsh, Tui. Yeah.
Pap.
Yeah, Pap was Clive Churchill.
Yeah.
There we go. Big game experience as well. All right, moving on to the first game on Saturday. This was a massive one as well. Penrith at home to the Wires at Bluebet Stadium. For the Panthers, hooker Mitch Kenny and back row Scotty Sorensen return. They're the only two that missed last week's game that are part of the starting 17. Jamin Salmon, the weak gutted dog, is the 18th man with Tyrone Peachey.
I forgot we signed him next year.
Yeah, how good. Let us know how he is too. On the sly. For the Wires, skipper Tohu Harris is good to go.
Oh, good.
He had back spasms. He's a huge inclusion, obviously. Jazz Devanga is also back after missing a game with the hammy. Bunny Afolo has been named in the reserves. Martis Curran and Bailey Sirenan instead named on the bench. For the Wires, the price, $4.50, Mace. Underdogs with our friends, our partners at the tab. Penrith are $1.20 favourites. The line's 12.5. I really like the line on that. And again, Mace, let's break down the teams. Mm. So kicking off with strike weapons. This one's good. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward across the board, but we'll go through it.
Yeah.
Taruva Tungo, Crichton To'o versus Watanez Lesniak, Barry Pompey and Montoya, who have had really good seasons, but easy tick to Penrith.
Yeah. Tried and tested, man. That's Taruva guy. He's a gun.
All right. Middles, Moses Leota, Mitch Kenny. Oh, Mitch Kenny's not part of it. James Fish-Harris, Scott Sorensen, Liam Martin, Isaiah Yeo versus Adam Fanua-Blake, Mitch Barnett, Jackson Ford, Murata Niokora, Tohu Harris.
When you throw them out, those names and the years that they've had, if you said this last year, you'd be like, fucking Penrith all day.
Every day.
Well, it's still going to go Penrith. Still but Penrith. It's sort of even, it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't sound that bad when you're throwing up Niokora and stuff like that. He had a fucking career best year. Penrith, because of the experience and they're just dogs, man, they're going to go after it.
This is an interesting one. Dylan Edwards, Cogger, Cleary, Mitch Kenny, Charles Nickel Klogstad, Tomate Martin, Sean Johnson, Wade Egan.
Penrith don't look like, you look at that name, you're like, you got Cogger in there. You throw Cleary in there. He's like one of the best, he's probably the best seven in the game. Like Dylan Edwards, is there rep jerseys there? No. So like he's one of their best players.
I think if Reece Robson's got next for the New South Wales jersey.
Mm.
But if Reece Robson wasn't around, I could see Mitch Kenny and Wade Egan being a nice little 1-2 punch for New South Wales. If that
Mitch Kenny can hit.
Yeah.
That's what I wouldn't run it. And I don't like him.
Yeah, Mitch Kenny, fuck that.
He's got perfect technique to hit me. When you throw those names around, you're like, yeah, they're all right players. Apart, you know, obviously Cleary's world above everyone else.
Yep. But not that much over Shawnee this year.
No, Sean Johnson probably been Dally M.
Mm.
Yeah, Cleary's been out for a little bit.
I'd take Tomate Martin over Cogger.
Yeah.
And people might fucking blow up about this, but I've got Edwards and Chance Nickel-Klogstad even.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Probably, but people blowing up about that.
I'll go fucking Warriors. I'm back in the Warriors. The spine. Yeah, I like it.
Are you on the Warriors to win?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't do that for our tips.
Didn't we? I thought I picked. No. I swear I picked the Warriors.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Did I pick the Warriors, Lukey?
No. That's all right. There we go. A little bit of a late change anyway.
I picked them now.
Picked him Radley. What about the bench though? Tyrone Fiche, Lindsay Smith, Spencer Lenu, Zach Hoskin versus Dylan Walker, Jazz Devonga, Bailey Sirenen, and Mudders Curran.
Penrith. Spencer Lenu, man. Yeah. If you put him on a bench, he's a starting prop in any other team.
Yeah.
But he can't get a starting job because you have these dogs, Leota. Yeah, Peach and Walker. Origin, man.
Peach and Walker about the same.
Yeah.
I like Jazzy Devonga too. I think he's like good. He could probably start or be a good solid 13 at most teams, but the Bawdy bros coming off the bench again.
It's just the Sirenen and, you know, like Lienu versus Sirenen, you know?
Penrith versus Wise, you're going to the Wise.
I'm going to the Wise.
All right.
Upsets on. It's always one little upset in this first one.
That's a big one. That won't be a little one. All right, moving on to Sharks versus Roosters at Points Point Stadium. I'll be calling this for SEN too, so listen into that. If you want to turn off and someone rubbish is on Fox, just chuck it on mute and then chuck the scope on SEN as well.
Especially when you know what someone said? He goes, fuck you for having a crack at what's your hook?
Yeah.
Now he's talking too much.
Yeah.
You can't please everyone, man.
Oh, 100%. He's lifted his energy.
Yeah, he's got his energy, and now everyone's gone, shut him up.
He's heard the criticism and he's like,
sorry, Hook, I love you, bro.
Yeah, love you, Hook. He used to be like really reserved and like,
yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to try to do it. But now he's upped it and he's too keen.
I can see if he's on the mic, he's like that.
He's too keen. He gives some good information though. I'll give him that.
You're not a head coach for nothing, man.
It's just a monotone. You've got
to have smart. Yeah, like, you've got to have smartness about you. Like, break the game down, bro.
Yep. All right, so for the Sharks, Will Kennedy remains on the outside. So Connor Tracy's kept the fullback spot. Apart from that, pretty much the same lineup that's served him well over the last month, 5 or 6 weeks. Lukey really believes that Nico Hines has been watching our content and that's the reason for the revival of the Sharks when we did that clip about them not making the eight.
Fitzy's playing it fucking all day.
Well, you know Nico's a big fan of the show on that too. So shout out, Nico. Love you, Nico. Roosters, however, they get Joey Manu back after missing a week with a hamstring injury that it gave way in the Tigers game. So Corey Allen moves out of the side and Fletcher Baker is available after being hit with a monetary fine for his dangerous throw. Our friends, our partners have this one, a coin flip, mate, $1.90 each. They can't split it. Oh, this is the hardest game to pick of the round for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go through strike weapons, Sione Katoa, Jesse Ramian, Sifa Tolokai, Ronaldo Mortalo versus Junior Pango, Billy Smith, Joseph Manu, and Joseph Yoruso.
Maoso.
Akuso Swali'i.
Oh, I love that. Fuck, I wish he could watch his
We're
show.
We're so immature. There's no way he grow watches up, show.
He would watch it.
Yeah, he loves it.
Fuck. This is a hard game, man. You look at, you just mentioned those names with the Roosters, right? And you're like, fuck, they're all world players. So you got to go with them, right? But it's just they haven't had their best years individually, right? But name-wise.
Strike weapons.
They're strikes, right? I'm going. I'm all day Roosters, man.
Oh, but let's get through. Let's go through. Break them down. Strike weapons. Those are, who do you like out of, who do you prefer out of the outside backs there?
I like Joey Manu, but Joey Manu ain't Joey Manu 2021, 2022, right?
And that hamstring
thing. So like he won't be able to fucking do what he does.
Yeah. And then you got Billy Smith. And Billy Smith's
good, man.
Hey, shout out to Billy
fucking
Smith.
Fucking oath. Two ACLs and
three.
Shit. Three?
Three ACLs.
Jeez.
I
like him, man. He's a dog. He goes at it. He goes at it.
He does.
Where's he from? Where the fuck is he? Just he can't be a local junior. He's a Rooster.
I'll look now and have a look.
Where's he from? Where's Billy Smith from?
Yeah, I'll get him up, mate. I'll get him up as we're going through it. But I seen Joey and Freddie talking about him on the Footy Show, and here he is, born
Queenslander.
No, he's not a Queenslander for sure. Where is he? He's born in New South Wales, Sydney, New South Wales. Why
local junior? No, why Central Coast boys?
Maybe he's a Central Coast boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Marco Mealy territory.
Yeah, they were, Joey and that were talking about him and David Middleton.
Scots College.
Scots College, all right. He's got a bit of cash.
Yeah.
He must be a proper Sydney Eastern Suburbs boy. Yeah. Scots College Eastern Suburbs.
Yeah, it's Matt.
Yeah.
He's had a good year.
Well, he's a dog if he's coming out of there and he's they were talking about like if he'd played all his games now. From the day he debuted, he'd be like 100 something game by now.
He's on like 12.
And he's on like 30 and 20 of them are this year.
Yeah. Awful. They've had big raps on him for years.
Yeah.
It's good to see like guys like that come through that shit. Like three ACLs, that would retire most people, man.
Yeah. So Katoa, Rami and Talakai Mulitalo for you on strike weapons against Paga and...
No, I like the Roosters.
Oh, you like the Roosters? Yeah. All right, what about the middles? Toby Rudolph, Hamlin Uele, Britton Okoro, Wade Graham, McInnes versus Fletcher Baker, Lindsay Collins, Siwa Wong, Nat Butcher and Victor Radley.
Cronulla. I like the big boys, man. Uele and fucking Rudolph. They go at it, man.
I think the pack's changed since a few changes. Obviously, they made some changes on that left edge. Since Wado's been inserted back into that edge and then obviously made the decision that it's his last year, he's just going that hard at the moment, and he's setting the tone for him. So I'm with you on the Sharks as well. Let's get in the spine. Connor Tracy, Braden Trindle, Nico Hines, Blake Brayley versus Tedesco, Keary, Walker and the Cheese.
Roosters. All day with that.
I'm with you on that one. And the bench, Jack Williams, Royce Hunt, Hazelton, Kafusi, Sandon Smith, Egan Butcher, Terrell May and Angus Crichton.
They've got a big job this week, the Roosters bench.
I think this will determine the game.
Yeah, Cronulla's bench, they go at it. Hazelton that come off the bench and Royce Hunt, they change games.
Yeah.
They've got the momentum through the middle and the Roosters have to stop that because they don't have Hargraves. Right, so Lindsay Collins has a massive job. So is Terrell May.
Terrell May off the bench, Egan Butcher.
Yeah.
I think the bench could dictate this game. I think this is so close. Obviously, it's a coin flip, but it could come down to...
It's be the best game.
If Terrell May or Egan Butcher or Crichton or Hazelton or Royce Hunt have an impact when they come off the bench.
You know
what it reminds me of? The Cowboys Sharks game when the Sharks come off the Hazelton and Royce Hunt come off the bench and blew the Cowboys.
They can do that, man. Because the Roosters aren't – I reckon their game plan would be go straight through the front door.
I think both their game plans
You know what I mean? Yeah, but I don't think the Roosters can go straight through them. They're big boys, man. They hit hard. The Cronulla side, they'll be trying to get at the edges, man. They'll try and expose that left edge.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to try and do.
All right. So with all that information, Mace, lean it to the Roosters, you said?
Yeah, Roosters.
I'm on the Sharkies. I'm against you on that one.
Tedesco, the Teddy or someone's going to have like a fucking lights out game. It's going to take that or a Cheese or some big game player.
All right, the last game is Newcastle versus Canberra. Canberra, $4.30 underdogs. Of course, with Newcastle just on fire at McDonald Jones at the moment, $1.22. The line's 12.5. Mace... The big news for the Knights, Kalen Ponga and Hastings are back with Lachlan Fitzgibbon, plus Dane Gagai and Tyson Frizzell, who missed some game, missed last week, I think, as well. Bench forward Matt Croker left the field with an injury assessment, but he's good to go. As for the Raiders, Albert Hopewadi and club legend Jared Croker are listed amongst the reserves. They may get a late call up. Jack Whiten is in the centres. Ata Moriota and Hohepa Puru are both set to start after being promoted to the run on side. Let's break it down. Outside back weapons, Dom Young, Gagai, Best, Marzu versus Schiller, White, Timbercourt and Kotrick.
Wow. Knights sound good, don't they?
Knights are good, but that's still an impressive back strike weapons. Schiller's the odd man out, and I think that's why.
Timbercourt's had a great year.
Timbercourt's been good. Jack White in the centres, he's a dog. Yeah. Nick Kotrick's a dog.
Yeah.
But leaning towards the Knights.
Yeah, Knights, they look good. Bradman Best had a breakout year. I reckon he's probably his best since his debut year.
Yep.
The New South Wales job, he's just gone on with it since his Bali trip, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Gags is Gags. He's going to fucking be dynamite. Dom Young's had a fucking unreal year. Marju's had a great year. They look good, man.
I think this is where it this game's changed in the last couple of weeks. Jacob Saifidi, Leo Thompson, Tyson Frizzell, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Adam Elliott versus Ata Moriota, Tarps, Joseph Tarpany, Hudson Young, Elliot Whitehead and Ho Hooper. Puru.
Yeah, nice. I like him.
But Horsper and Big Papa.
If you put those two, I'm going to go Canberra because I reckon they can match up with any other pack.
Yeah.
They can go at it. But losing those two guys, I mean, they're origin players.
All right, and this is where they get the biggest tick of all. Carlton Ponga, Tyson Gamble, Jackson Hastings, Phoenix Crossland versus Jordan Rapana, Matt Frawley, Jamal Fogarty and Zach Wolford.
You take Ponga out of Newcastle, that's probably the worst fucking spine in the game. Easily.
Fucking the Gamble's been good this year.
Bro, like, come on. It's a semi-final, man. You take Ponga out. They come way back to the park, man.
Look, he's pissing himself.
I heard him laugh.
I got to disagree.
Ponga's, he just puts that.
Of course.
And Gamble's had great years and everything like that, and Hastings. You're not fucking worried about them. You're not doing film on Hastings this week. I'm telling you, you are not doing anything on Hastings if you're doing anything on Newcastle.
It's all
where
Ponga.
The fuck is Ponga? Where is he? Where's the cues when he comes on that left side, right side? Nothing on Hastings. Yeah. Nothing on Gamble.
Oh, there'd be
and nothing on Phoenix fucking Crossland. Trust me. They're good fucking players, but like you're not doing any video on them. You're like, where's Ponga? All the middles are doing all their work, all the edge. It's all Ponga, Ponga, Ponga.
I'm
fucking telling you. He's a grouse.
But are you going to be doing a shitload on Frawley as well?
No, nothing. No. Yeah. If Canberra's fucking just as bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not looking at players there. Like, you're in the middle. You're like, they're worried about Phoenix Crossland or fucking Hastings or Gamble.
Do you know
or Frawley or, you know?
You're right. As we're going through, this is why it's important to break down position.
Yeah.
These lineups. And then we'll get to – we don't even need to get to the bench because I don't think it's going to matter Newcastle anyway. Both ticks Newcastle.
Yeah.
But this is why it was such an underwhelming season for Souths, Cowboys, Parramatta. They've got such a better lineup.
That we're talking about.
They're better, way better lineups.
Cool. Than we've got. Latrell,
even
Walker.
Manly. Manly have got a better lineup on paper, even without Turbo than this Canberra team right now.
I'm telling you.
You could argue even Titans on paper.
Titans on paper was a top eight side, man.
But
come on.
They didn't show that dog. They didn't have that dog in them like the Canberra Raiders did in games to fucking not only – they weren't able to blow teams out, but they found a way in a lot of times. A lot
grinding,
of grit.
Grinding, just like completion, high completions and just beat the shit out of you. Physical.
Oh, fuck.
But, that's all Canberra's going to be doing, man. That's all Ricky will be doing is Ponga. Yeah, their forward pack's fucking great. I rate their forward pack, but, like, you just got to watch where – number one is all the time. There's the cues, wherever he is. If he's in the middle of the field or if he's on a little bit of on the numbers line or anything like that, where the fuck is Ponga?
Jack will be playing left. Timbercourt will be playing right. So that right's going to get a lot. Will they have Kotrick on the right? Is Kotrick Green playing right? I'm just trying to think. Albert Hawaii, he swaps and changes. I'd be putting Kotrick on the right because that's where they're going to get more of the and Schiller, put him next to Jack White.
Whoever the right three is going to get fucking attacked. And that will be was it Frawley or the other dude?
Well, he's filling in. No, that's Fogarty. It's Fogarty because
he's a good defender, Fogarty.
Yeah, he's solid.
Yeah, he's all right.
He'll hit you.
Yeah.
He's got good technique if you run straight at him. But they've also, like, Jack White got exposed out in the centres last week as well.
A lot of traffic
last
around
week, the week before.
And whoever that right four is needs to be on his game.
Mm.
because they're going to come. I think, is it Hudson Young? Hudson Young,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, fuck, you got me beauty with that one. All right, let's move into it. Four of the best. Four of the best in our LPC bet for this week. So I've chucked a little bit more on, a little bit, you know, of course, we're always responsible, but I chucked a little bit more on. I really like these bets for this week. Brisbane versus Melbourne. Even though I'm on Melbourne, there's just a part of me that thinks the Wonder Boy, the kid's just going to start the game on fire. Mm. I think he scores, and he scores early. Give me Reece Walsh for the Brisbane Broncos at $2.40 with our friends, our partners at the tab. As for the Penrith versus Warriors, the problem has been for the Wires, that left edge. I think Stephen Crichton will play left. Therefore, I'm going Isaac Tungo on the right at $2.30. As for Cronulla versus Sydney Roosters, this game is a coin flip. It's so hard to pick even a try scorer in this game. So this game, I'm going Cronulla, and if Cronulla are going to win, it's going to be off the back of Nicholas Hines. Mm. I'm on Nico at $3.10. Newcastle versus Canberra, they're going to be doing all their video on Kalen Ponga, mate, but it's not going to matter. He's still going to score $2.25.
He's going to kill it.
Kalen Ponga, anytime for my four of the best. As for the LPC Moldy, I'm on the two glamour boys from Queensland. Not going to game. I'm going on the two glamour fullbacks in the competition. Mm. They're scoring on the field, they're scoring off the field, and when they're scoring, they're scoring in the first 60 minutes. Reece Walsh and Kalen Ponga to score in the first 60 minutes for $11.
Oh, wow.
With a max bet of $25. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season, so please keep front of mind what are you really gambling with. And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You can find all our current LPC bets under the Bets Friends banner on the tab app. I'll be going game for game this week. I'm pumped for it. Finals are here, mate.
Can't wait.
Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you to review, not the Newcastle halves, the game next week.
Love you, boys.